मोकम करोति वाचालम् पंगुम लंघयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणम् परमानंद माधवम् श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरम्। ओके सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 3। सो लेट्स रीड वर्ड वन वन वर्ड एंड अंडरस्टैंड हाउ टू प्रोनाउंस दैट। सो प्लीज चैंट जाटा दीधितिभिः। It's not he. Di-di-ti-bhi. So as I explained last time, so here below T we have a dot. So it becomes T. Yes. And above A there is a line. So it becomes A. So it becomes Jata. Jata. And here above I we have line. So it's Di. Di. Di-di-ti-bhi. Reje. Sam. Samvartarka. Samvartarka Ivam Shubhihi Tasmims Tapas Tapyamane Devaha Sthanani Bejire. So this is what it is. So let's chant the shloka. Please chant. Jata Didhi Tibhireje Samvartarka Ivam Shubhihi Tasmim Stapas Tapyamane Devaha Sthanani Bejire. Translation: from the hair on Hiranyakashipu's head, there emanated an effulgent light as brilliant and intolerable as the rays of the sun at the time of dissolution. Seeing the performance of such austere penances, the demigods, who had been wandering throughout the planets, now returned to their respective homes. Next verse. Because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerities, fire came from his head. And this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planets, which all became extremely hot. Next. Because of the power of his severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated. The surface of the globe, with its mountains and islands, began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All directions were ablaze. Text 6. Scorched and extremely disturbed because of Hiranyakashipu's severe penances, all the demigods left the planets where they reside and went to the planet of Lord Brahma, where they informed the creator as follows. O Lord of the demigods, O master of the universe, because of the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head, as a result of his severe austerities, we have become so disturbed that we could not stay in our planets, but have come to you. O great person, chief of the universe, if you think it's proper, kindly stop these disturbances meant to destroy everything before all your obedient subjects are annihilated. Hiranyakashipu has undertaken a most severe type of austerity. Although his plan is not unknown to you, kindly listen as we submit his intentions. So here we are discussing on the topic of Hiranyakashipu's tapasya. That's what is the topic currently going on. So till now we saw various things. We saw about the demonic qualities. We saw what is the difference between demons and devotees. In this particular verse, we talk in this particular chapter, or especially the initial part of the chapter, it talks about the tapasya which Hiranyakashipu performed. And it is very clearly given that when it comes to tapasya of Hiranyakashipu, no one ever did it before Hiranyakashipu, no one can do it now, and no one will ever be able to do in future. Such tapasya was that of Hiranyakashipu. Now look at the description that is given. So in the last session we saw that he was standing with his arms raised on his toes and his head was up, you know, he was looking upwards. And then in this these few verses that we just read, it talks about that how the heat of the tapasya which was there in the body, that was coming out from the head, yes, in the form of fire and smoke. And this fire and smoke was not just small fire here and there, it was huge fire. To such an extent that it was affecting even the people staying on Swargaloka. So you can imagine what sort of tapasya this person might have done. When it comes to tapasya, you know, it's actually very important even when it comes to devotee's life. Tapasya is very, very important. Very important. So right from the childhood, we have been always in our comfort zone. So we like to be in our comfort zone. We like to play safe. We like to be in our comfort zone, relax, and so on and so forth. So never ever, you know, we take a call to go out of the way to do something. Even if we want to do, so that will be something, weird. A very, very critical case, you know, we'll go out of the way to do that particular activity. Like, for example, some exam. So entire night, the person will remain awake and he'll study for the exam. Or be it some release in the office. So entire night, the person might stay awake and he'll complete the work. But in normal times, this does not happen. If you properly analyze, normal times, this will never happen. Normal time, the person would like to always be in the comfort zone. But when it comes to bhakti, literally, the bhakti aspect itself is going out of the way. Why? Because the normal course of action in this world, the way it is going, so it's a river that is flowing. And what is bhakti? And who are bhaktas? Bhakti is a process going against the river. And who is going against the river? The bhakta who is practicing bhakti is going against the river. So what do we expect here then? Do we think it's going to be easy? You know, where the river is flowing and then opposite, you know, we are flowing. It's really tapasya. It is tapasya. So sometimes people say that, bro, today I didn't get time to be chanting or reading or hearing or whatever. Okay. But then when it comes to a normal course of action, that is eating, sleeping, for that we have time. But then going against the river, then we don't find time. It's very, very normal. In day-to-day life, it's very, very normal that we want to remain in our comfort zone. We don't want to come out of it. Right? So like, for example, when it comes to 16 rounds, you know, it takes 2 hours. So it's actually not an easy task, you know, for people in general. Sometimes, you know, people ask, how do you all sit for at one place for 2 hours? How do you all manage doing that? For people outside, they'll feel, oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. And if someone talks about 64 rounds, you know, they'll run away from that place. They cannot digest sitting at one place or chanting the mantra for 6 to 8 hours straight, 64 rounds. Now it's something very difficult to comprehend for people in general. But then when it comes to devotees, you know, we understand that as when the person starts practicing bhakti, he has to go out of the way to practice bhakti. He cannot just remain in the daily course of action, you know, that is there and try to fit in bhakti in the daily course of action. That will not work. That will not work. So to gain something, we have to do something. And right from our childhood, you know, we have done so much of tapasya, you see. Especially when it comes to studies, all of us have done good tapasya. Yes, studying for exam. Who likes to study for exam? At least I never liked. And I'm sure I'll have many partners here today. So no one likes to study for exam. No one likes to study. No, that's the point. No one likes to go to school. Yes. But then, you know, sitting and watching TV and other things, and everyone likes. Watching, in the childhood, I remember watching cartoons straight for good number of hours, you know, till the mother comes and she switches off the TV. You know, it goes on. So much of appetite is there. But when it comes to studying and other things, very difficult. But still, we did it. Still, we did it. And then the people who have done engineering and MBBS and other things, how much people have slogged? Yes. Be it projects or be it presentations or interviews or whatever. How much people have put effort? How much? Now, sometimes people have not slept for days together. And after that, they've slept for days together. That is also there. But they've not slept for days together. It means, you know, that tapasya aspect is already there within us. And this country, India or Bharat Varsha in general, this Bhumi itself is called as Tapo Bhumi in Shastra. This is called as Tapo Bhumi. Sometimes people ask, itni tapasya kyu hai India mein? In India, why there is so much of tapasya? Going in bus is a tapasya, going in train is a tapasya. Everywhere, it's tapasya only. And Bangalore traffic is always tapasya. Why so much of tapasya? Because this place is Tapo Bhumi. Many, many great rishis and many, many great sadhus have done tapasya here on this bhumi, on this place. So when it comes to tapasya, there is no option, at least for Indians, no option. And tapasya, when it is done for the right thing, it will bear the right result, right? So till now we have done tapasya for various things, but then all those things were temporary. Now the right tapasya or the tapasya for the right thing will manifest, and that is tapasya for bhakti. Now you see, I heard many of you have already given up non-veg, and some of you were alcoholic, you have given up alcohol, yes, and so on and so forth. So that's a tapasya, for sure it's in tapasya. Means you want to do that particular activity, but you're restraining yourself from doing that. Such a great thing that is. That's tapasya. It's like gravitational pull is there, but you're going away from the gravitational pull. That's tapasya, but obvious. So the natural course or the natural tendency of the four regulative principles, breaking the four regulative principles is natural. Natural for everyone. But when a person tries to follow the four regulative principle, it's actually tapasya. And in Shastra, it is very clearly said that any devotional activity in this age of Kali Yuga, when it is done for 12 years, without fail, without any breakage, with proper mood, that person actually gets the same merit of doing the tapasya for n number of years, celestial years in the other yugas. So now you can imagine, whatever Hiranyakashipu is doing for celestial years, just in 12 years, the person can gain the same power what Hiranyakashipu gained. Same power, no doubt about that. Yes. So the point that is made here is, or which the point that I'm trying to make is, when it comes to bhakti, we have to do tapasya. We have to. We have to go out of our way. Sometimes it might happen that our rounds might be pending. So we cannot just sleep like that. No, we have to complete that. And now completing the rounds at late night, what does it mean, tapasya? Just imagine you're holding beads and it just goes on. But still you're like, no, I have to chant. That's tapasya. Because that tapasya indicates how much we're eager to attain Krishna. If a natural course of action, the bhakti is happening, that's good. But in the critical times, when the person actually does bhakti, that is tapasya, and that's what actually impresses Krishna. Even now, when this person is not going through a proper phase of life, but still he's doing it. Like for example, when someone dies in the house, but still a devotee is sitting with beads and still chanting. That's a big thing. Still, he might be crying and chanting, yes, but still is chanting. Or the health is not well, the person is lying on the bed and then chanting. I still remember one of my friend, devotee friend, he had got dengue. And then he was admitted in the morning. So this was early morning, he fainted, and then the devotees took him to hospital and he was admitted. And at night, he came back to his proper consciousness. And the first thing that he asked when he came back to his consciousness was, please give me my beads, my rounds are pending. See, look at this. This is the consciousness of devotees. Please give me my beads, my rounds are pending. Right? So when we literally do like this, day in and day out, when we do our sadhana, kathorta se jab hum sadhana karte, strictly when we do our sadhana, without fail, without compromise, that's actually tapasya. And in that, obviously there will be some heat. Either the heat will be created in the body or in the head or between two people, heat will be created. No doubt about that. Here we see the heat is created from the head of Hiranyakashipu. And from our head also heat might come out. No doubt about that again. And there might be heat between two people. I mean, maybe the spouse or maybe kids or whatever. Heat might be created there. Tapasya will give rise to that. No doubt. But when we do that tapasya, you know, and then and also manage, you know, put some ice on the hot things around, Krishna is pleased. And finally, what is the goal, you know, to attain Krishna? And how can we attain Krishna? By pleasing Krishna. So whenever our mind tricks, nahi nahi abhi bahut ho gaya, abhi thoda rest lete, you know, enough, you know, let me take some rest. Yes. How much bhakti? Every day this Bhagavatam class is there. Starting mein bol diya toh, you know, this person is, you know, giving class after class. Today is 20th class on the same topic and Prahlad Maharaj is not seen anywhere. Topic is Prahlad Charita, but there is no Prahlad Maharaj at all. What is this person doing? Or, you know, for chanting. So when we are chanting also, or same mantra every day. Same mantra. I've seen sometimes devotees are tired of chanting like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. They start singing, Hare Krishna. With what to do? We need some change, right, in life. We need some change. And then devotees might move from one room to another while chanting. That's okay. No problem. But we have to do it, come what may. Doesn't matter what is our emotional status, mental status, or our bodily status. Status is not the correct word, condition. Mental condition, emotional condition, or bodily condition. Yes, whatever it is. If we are able to do that particular activity, continuing that activity without any break, that is tapasya. See, we cannot do tapasya like Hiranyakashipu. This one Nirjala Ekadashi, you know, it's very fearful. One Nirjala Ekadashi, we start, in fact, you know, to be very frank, thinking of Nirjala Ekadashi one day before only I started feeling thirsty. And in the morning, so the Ekadashi started from 5:45. Thinking about Nirjala Ekadashi, I drank 2 liters of water before that. So, see, this body currently, Kali Yuga body, which is like Khatara Gadi, it is not meant for doing tapasya. We cannot do what Hiranyakashipu was doing. Yes. We cannot do what yogis in the Himalayas, you know, they do, standing on one leg. Now, there are many yogis who do tapasya like this. You know, they will, in the hot sun, they will lit fire all around and stand in between. They're sweating, but still they'll be there, tapasya. And in the cold winter, they'll submerge themselves till here in the cold waters of ocean or sea or, you know, a lake or whatever. Yes. So they do all that, but we cannot. We cannot. Fasting on Ekadashi, the first thing that we do is, you know, think about what will be the menu of Ekadashi tomorrow. And think, okay, ye menu bana to achha rahega. And then, you know, I heard from some of the Matajis that Prabhuji, on Ekadashi we cook double. The normal days we cook double. That day lots of things we have to cook. This is how we do our tapasya. So that's okay. Not a problem. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, you know, we cannot do tapasya. Bodily tapasya is not possible. But at least that vow that we have taken, to follow that vow, you know, when we endeavor, that is actually appreciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, to take a vow itself is a big thing. When Bhishma took a vow that I'll not marry, you know what happened? Flowers were showered from the heavenly planets by celestial beings. So maybe, you know, when we also take a vow, you know, there are flowers which are showered, you know, we are not able to see. Because in the age of Kali Yuga, taking a vow is very, very difficult. Now you see, the materialists, you know, they take a vow, I'll go to gym every day. And 2-3 days done, and after that vow broken. Now I take a vow that I'll not eat outside. People who are obese and they want to do dieting, I take a vow, I'll not eat outside. And then, you know, after 2-3 days, they see pizza, burger, whatever, put it in the mouth, done. Yes. So in this age of Kali Yuga, now following a vow is very, very difficult. And what to talk about bhakti? Because in bhakti, if you properly analyze, we are very, very few in number in the entire world. If the population of the entire world, say 700 billion or whatever. So if that is the population, then in that, how many devotees are there? Few millions, that's it. Maybe in Indian terminologies, maybe some 10 lakhs or something like that. Maybe that is also more. 10 lakhs is also a big number. Yes, much less than that. And when it comes to serious devotees, they are just in thousands. So now, can you imagine, we are a very small number. The entire world is doing something else. And we are doing completely different activity. Where everyone is wearing jeans and shorts and other things, and we are wearing dhoti kurta, full sleeves kurta, there is nothing called as full dhotis. Dhoti is always full. So dhoti. And then when females are trying to wear some clothes which are not proper, here our matajis, they wear full sari, covering the entire parts, all the parts of the body properly. So can you imagine? And then along with that, our makeup is tilak, and our hairstyle is this. Now I've seen many devotees in this lockdown period, they have got this hairstyle. So we are going totally against what people are doing in general. Even when it comes to relatives, they look at us, hey, you don't eat non-veg? You don't eat onion garlic? Alcohol? Huh? They're not able to digest what we are doing. They feel, how are you living? These are the questions that people ask. How are you living? So can you imagine now a small crowd practicing bhakti and a huge crowd doing some extremely opposite activity to that of bhakti? So now when that small crowd is practicing bhakti, it has to go through a lot of tapasya. People might condemn, people might tease, people might chastise, blaspheme, and people might keep names. Yes, people might do various activities. And in that also, when a devotee practices bhakti, Krishna from there is smiling and is clapping. Jai ho! You're my ansha, proper ansha. You're my part and parcel. And it is seen, this tapasya is very nice. Initially, when a person starts practicing bhakti, people might laugh. Dekhenge kitna din chalega. We'll see how many days we'll do this. Natak. And then people will start laughing. They'll try to pull us down. And they'll continue doing that. And still when they're practicing bhakti, they're surprised. Are you doing so great? And then when we still keep continuing and when they see changes in our life, they are the people who come and appreciate us. They are the people. So here we see there's a transition that is happening from the laughing stage, condemning stage, to the stage of appreciation. In something between these two is called as tapasya. Yes. From the laughing stage to the condemning stage, this is tapasya. And any devotee who sustains between the two stages, finally reaches the stage of appreciation and people start appreciating like anything. I myself have experienced this, especially in my office when I was there. So I would not eat outside. I was very, very strict when it comes to prasad, because Prabhupada makes it so such strong points that every day hearing Prabhupada lecture, I was like not able to think of eating anything outside. So whenever it used to come for team lunch and team dinner or whatever, so I would tell some reason and skip. Initially, people started teasing. They started saying, you're a sadhu baba, you're this, you're that, you're not eating outside. In fact, my seniors, they came and they were counseling me. See, like this, it will not work. You're in this world and you're in corporate, so you have to participate in all these things and so on and so forth. And people would speak all these things. And then, people would come from China, Japan, other things, they'll get chocolates and this and that. So I would not accept all that also. So people would tease initially. And then with time, I saw over a period of 6 to 8 months, in that particular company, then people started appreciating, saying, oh, how much control you have on yourself, especially on your tongue and so on and so forth. Then I was thinking, abhi aaya line pe. So we are not great people. Only thing is we're trying to follow some instruction. It's tapasya. For sure it's tapasya. But when we start doing that, people will shift from laughing stage to the stage of appreciation. In fact, when I heard this for the first time, laughing stage to appreciation, I was like, aise bhi hota hai kya? But when I experienced myself in various aspects of life, be it in family or be it in office or be it in friend circle or whatever, then yes, it was so great. So now, even when it comes to relatives, friends, everyone, they have a certain amount of appreciation for various activities that we do, right? But then the between part is tapasya. there will be a lot of tug of war in between the laughing stage and the stage of appreciation. But any devotee who sustains that, you know, he'll be there. He'll be there throughout. He'll be there throughout. So this point of tapasya in our life is what? The point of tapasya, or what is tapasya in our life, in the life of devotees? Tapasya is doing sadhana without any obstruction. That is tapasya in our life. We are not expected to do nirjala every day. It's just once in a year. And then we are not expected that, you know, you walk for a long distance without slippers. Maybe when you go to Vrindavan, maybe we'll do Govardhan Parikrama, 22 kilometers without slippers. That's okay. So we are not expected to do all these things daily. Maybe once in a year, once in a while. But the daily tapasya which is there in our life is this. That is chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles without any interruption, without any break in between. And when a devotee does that, yes, then he's delivered. He's delivered. And the determination power that a devotee gains, you know, by doing sadhana over a period of time is really great. Really great. In fact, we have seen people who are working in corporate, when they go to higher runs in the position. So there's so much of tension and so many things are there. But then since they're doing sadhana for a prolonged, so I'm giving the material benefit. Yes. But anyways, we don't work for benefit, but I'm just telling the byproduct of our daily sadhana. So the determined sadhana that the person has done, he becomes determined even when it comes to taking decisions at various levels. So in this way, we see that when we practice sadhana every single day without any break, yes, it's a tapasya. But when it is done for a prolonged period of time, there is a lot of change, a lot of change. And those devotees who say that, itna nahi ho payega, one round I can do. There are devotees, probably one round I can do, 16 and all is too much. Okay, so one round you do, but then going back home back to Godhead is a question mark then. Going back to Godhead is a question mark. Yes. Means to get a job in this world or to get possessions in the house, to buy a house, to get married, etc. Now we are ready to do tapasya and we do intense tapasya. But when it comes to attaining Krishna, we are not ready to do tapasya. Right? So this is not a proper thing. This is not a proper thing. So we should remind ourselves again and again. I want to attain Krishna. So I have to do tapasya greater, much, much greater tapasya as compared to the various things that I've done before, or to attain material things in life. Right? So in this way, you know, we see that when it comes to tapasya, the devotee's tapasya is sadhana. Without break, doing sadhana day in and day out. And in fact, increasing the sadhana gradually. That is our tapasya. Let me know if you have any questions. Now, the demigods here, they're trying to convince Brahma. Are Brahma, see what is happening. Now fire is coming from his head and then, you know, our planets are getting burnt. We are not able to stay in our place. And Brahma, all with his, you know, with his four heads, he was ignoring them. All of them. Yes. And then the demigods, they thought, chalo kuch neeti karna padega. Let me use some trick here. Or, you know, let me use, you know, some diplomacy. And here, see the demigods, what they are saying. When he was not listening, at that time, the demigods say, Text 9 and 10. The supreme person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by the dint of severe austerities, mystic power and trance. So the first thing when Brahma appeared on the lotus flower, when Garbhodakshaya Vishnu sleeping on the Garbha ocean in the universe, when the lotus flower sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and when Brahma came, nothing was there in this entire universe. At that time, the first word, you know, that Brahma could hear was tapa. And then Brahma started doing tapasya. And when he started doing tapasya, pleased by his tapasya, Lord revealed to him the knowledge of creation. And that's how the creation happened. So that's what is mentioned here. That by the dint of severe austerities, mystic power and trance, now Brahma has got his position. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power and trance for many, many births. And thus I shall occupy the same post occupied by Brahma. Who is saying this? Hiranyakashipu is saying this. And the demigods are speaking to Brahma, what is Hiranyakashipu saying? So the demigods are saying, "Are pata nahi hai tumhe what Hiranyakashipu is planning. He is going to take over your position. Brahma is going to take over your position." So at that time, Brahma becomes alert. Ah, okay, chalo. I have to do something now. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's determination was to occupy the post of Lord Brahma. But this was impossible because Brahma has a long duration of life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 8.17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahar Yad Brahmano Viduhu. 1,000 yugas equals one day of Brahma. I think all the Gita Go students are thorough with the calculation of Brahma's age. You remember 10x, x equal to 4,32,000 and so on and so forth. So finally, the age of Brahma comes to 311,040,000,000,000 years. That is the age of Brahma. The duration of Brahma's life is extremely great, and consequently, it was impossible for Hiranyakashipu to occupy that post. Nonetheless, his decision was that since the self and time are both eternal, if he could not occupy that post in one lifetime, he would continue to execute austerities life after life, so that sometime he would be able to do so. See the determination power of Hiranyakashipu. So the demons in the past, they had the determination. And they were so that their atheistic endeavors would actually make all the demigods tremble in the heavenly planets. But you know, nowadays, you know, we have atheists who can just post some, or who can just make some blocks in the on the internet, post something on Facebook, you know, share some photos, this and that. That's what max to max they can do. But when it comes to people like Hiranyakashipu, they knew very well to become powerful, important is to do tapasya. And when it comes to devotees, devotees are also very clear. To become a pure devotee, I have to do tapasya. I have to chant 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, fast on Ekadashi, not beat on Ekadashi food, but fast on Ekadashi, eating those things. Yes. And without fail, doing this day in and day out. Devotees are also very clear about this. And here he says that if not one lifetime, you know, I'll continue doing tapasya for lifetime after lifetime. But devotees shouldn't do this. Devotees shouldn't say, I am eternal, time is eternal, bhakti is eternal, so let me do bhakti eternally. No, this very lifetime, we have to do very strict sadhana and attain Krishna. We have to do strict sadhana and attain Krishna. There is no question of not doing sadhana strictly. And then they continue, by dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruloka will be vanquished at the end of millennium. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's demonic determination was explained to Lord Brahma by the demigods, who informed him that Hiranyakashipu wanted to overturn all established principles. After executing severe austerities, people within this material world are promoted to the heavenly planets. But Hiranyakashipu wanted them to be unhappy, suffering because of the diplomatic feelings of the demigods, even in the heavenly planets. He wanted those who were harassed in this world by material transactions to be unhappy for the same reason, even in the heavenly planets. Indeed, he wanted to introduce such harassment everywhere. One might ask how this would be possible, since the universal order has been established since time immemorial. But Hiranyakashipu was proud to declare that he would be able to do everything by the power of his tapasya. He even wanted to make the Vaishnava's position insecure. These are some of the symptoms of Asuric determination. See, the natural course of action in this world cannot be changed. Now, be it the natural laws of this world, of this creation, it cannot be changed because it's created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Hiranyakashipu's plan was that the ones who are doing tapasya here in this material world, I mean the saintly people, sadhus, they should actually go to hell. They're suffering by doing tapasya. Why? Because they are not pious, so they should go to hell. And the ones who are enjoying very nicely, they've got a lot of punya, so they should be sent to heaven. This was the different stuff that was going on, in his head. And when it comes to, such demonic personalities, we see this very clearly in this purport, that they are the ones who are always envious of devotees, always. They want to somehow the other trouble devotees. We'll see here, in Hiranyakashipu's pastime and Prahlad takes birth, we'll see that. But here, one thing is very clear, the demonic people are always behind devotees to trouble them. Always. Right from time immemorial, this is happening. Yes. So what to talk about current age of Kali Yuga? In fact, There are so many allegations when it comes to ISKCON also. People, these demonic people, now they have put so many allegations also on ISKCON. ISKCON is doing this, ISKCON is doing that. Because this organization, ISKCON, is flourishing like anything internationally, everywhere. And then, you know, when it comes to these demonic personalities, they cannot see this happening. How can this happen? How can these people be happy? How can these people are flourishing and so on and so forth? They want to put some impediment. So on internet, you know, you'll find lots of posts against ISKCON, lot of posts against ISKCON gurus, ISKCON sannyasis, you know, a lot of nonsense things they have written. You know? So it's really dirty. It's better not to go through all that. And people feel by doing all this, they'll disturb the community of ISKCON. But never ever this has happened. In fact, during Prabhupada's time also. So what happened was, see, wherever Krishna is there, Lakshmi will come. So the book distribution was going well. So the money was coming from there. The donations were really high. So people were very much interested to support ISKCON at that time. So money was flowing in. So like this, the money was flowing in. And demonic people, they had put case on ISKCON at that time, saying, where is the money coming from? And Prabhupada was pulled, you know, in a court case. And literally, you know, Prabhupada had to give various analysis, you know, how the money is coming and so on and so forth, right? So people in general, they cannot see this. You know, very, very envious, very envious. In fact, you will see in your own lives also, you know, people around, they'll try to find, you know, some nooks and they say, these ISKCON people, look at them. They are just like that. You know, one mistake, they'll just wait for one mistake. These materialists, these demons will wait for one mistake. And as soon as they find one mistake, using the magnifying glass, you know, they'll magnify that and then record that, you know, from magnifying glass. This is how these people are. This is how these people are. But they'll not see the other white part, which is there. One black dot, they'll magnify. Yes. So this is what is happening. Now this is what is happening with the devotees all around the world. And the demonic people will not allow the devotees to remain peaceful. But when the devotees, still after a lot of trouble, they remain peaceful, at that time, the demonic people will go crazy. Aray, kuch bhi karo, isko kuch farak nahi padta hai. How is it? So here comes the quality of tolerance. You have to just tolerate. Just tolerate. Let these demonic people keep doing whatever they want. We'll just tolerate. Now, whatever it is, and pray to Krishna that they also become devotees someday. And once you become devotees, come in my bhakti, which I'll take care of you. Yes. So something like that. So if you people, any of you are getting troubled by any demon, so don't worry. This is natural course of action. Because people are envious and they want to trouble. They will trouble saintly people. They will. But that doesn't mean that saintly people go their way. So what is the difference between the saintly people and demonic then? We don't go to their way. In fact, these are the internal things. There are a lot of different groups all around the world, you know, which are trying to pull ISKCON down by speaking various nonsense things. And we know about it, who are doing it and what they're doing. But we are not doing what they're doing. Like, if suppose every devotee starts, understands who are the ones who are posting different articles, negative articles about ISKCON. Now, we in general, we know, but suppose we publish that and every devotee gets to know. And every devotee starts writing a post, then we can just flood internet, you know, with lot of negative posts regarding, you know, with respect to those demonic personalities. But we are not interested in doing that because we want to attain Krishna. Yes. And these demonic personalities are temporary. Anyways, they're going to die. Yes. And on internet and other places, you know, it's all about what is trending currently. So previously, even when that movie came, Dam Maro Dam Mitajayagam, Bolo Subha Sham, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. That was a crazy time for ISKCON devotees. Crazy time. Don't know what that movie director had in his mind and why he took that, the Mahamantra. It was not Mahamantra also. It was Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And in that, what happened is, our devotees at that time, since it was a new movement at that time, so when that movie direction was going on, so our devotees were called saying, "Up, you can do kirtan and go from this place to that place." And our devotees were like, "Oh, that's nice. No, Krishna's holy names will come on the big screen." So our devotees did that. But that came, that particular scene came in that song, Dam Maro Dam. And obviously now no one sees such movies, you know, old movies. So now there's no problem. But previously, our superiors, when the movie came, they faced a lot of problem. Whenever they would go out with Tilak and this, they would say, Dam maro dam. So it was really difficult at that time. This is how, you know, demonic people are. This is how demonic people are. They just want to pull, you know, pull legs of people. In fact, when it comes to book distribution also, you'll find many demonic people like that. Many demonic people. They would come and say, you know, in fact, so-called pious people are also demonic. Once we had put our book table, and then one person came and he said, I'm a Brahmin, and he removed his thread and he showed, I'm a Brahmana. Oh, we said, oh, very nice, Hare Krishna. And then he started saying, that what are you people doing? Bhagavad Gita ko koi road pe bechta hai? You're selling Bhagavad Gita on road. What is this? Now, do you have some sense of it or not? Bhagavad Gita ko road pe leke aa gaye tum iskon wale. And then, our devotees are also clever. So devotees said, okay, you sponsor, we'll open a nice transparent glass shop and we'll display all our books. You sponsor. What is the problem? Kharidna hai to kharido nahi to phuto yahan se. Get lost from here. So even when it comes to the Indian mentality, yes, the so-called pious people, they also act like demons when it comes to spreading of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes I literally feel this, that people in general who are so-called pious, from a pious background, and when they see that ISKCON devotees are doing something and they are flourishing and things like that, they are the first ones sometimes to put allegations. Ye log aise hi hai, ye sab nahi karna. And one of the allegations on ISKCON is anyone who goes to ISKCON will just go. We'll never come back. This is what it is said. If that was the case, if a person comes to ISKCON and he just goes, then just imagine how many monks would be there in ISKCON. It would, the entire, all the temples would be filled with monks. All the temples. But even if we just count the monks all over the world in ISKCON, it will be just, some 2,000 or something, 2,000, 3,000 or something like that. And what is the population of married people? It will be in lakhs. It will be in lakhs. So this is all demonic people spreading the rumors here and there just for one thing. Just for one thing. Somehow or the other, we want to pull these people who are moving ahead. That's it. That's it. And that's what we see here. Maybe they're in parampara of Hiranyakashipu. So they have to do this. They have to change the course of action. That's what they want to do. Text 12. Oh Lord, we have heard from reliable sources that in order to obtain your post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. You are the master of three worlds. Please, without delay, take whatever step you deem appropriate. In material world, a servant is provided for by the master, but is always planning how to capture the master's post. There have been many instances of this in history, especially in India during Mohammedan rule. Many servants buy plans and devices to cover the posts of their masters. It is learned from Chaitanya literature that one big zamindar, Subuddhi Rai, kept a Mohammedan boy as a servant. Of course, he treated the boy as his own child. And sometimes when the boy would steal something, the master would chastise him by striking him with a cane. There was a mark on the boy's back from this chastisement. Later, after that, boy had by crooked means become Hussein Shah, Nawab of Bengal. One day his wife saw the mark on his back and inquired about it. The Nawab replied that in his childhood, he had been a servant of Subuddhi Rai who had punished him because of some mischievous activities. Upon hearing this, the Nawab's wife immediately became agitated and requested her husband to kill Subuddhi Rai. Nawab Hussein Shah, of course, was very grateful to Subuddhi Rai and therefore refused to kill him. But when his wife requested him to turn Subuddhi Rai into a Mohammedan, the Nawab agreed. Taking some water from his water pot, he sprinkled it upon Subuddhi Rai and declared that Subuddhi Rai had now become a Mohammedan. The point is that this Nawab had been an ordinary menial servant of Subuddhi Rai, but was somehow or other able to occupy the supreme post of Nawab of Bengal. This is the material world. Everyone is trying to become master through various devices, although everyone is servant of his senses. Following the system, a living entity, although servant of his senses, tries to become master of the whole universe. Hiranyakashipu was a typical example of this. and Brahma was informed by the demigods of his intentions. So I think this we can see in our day-to-day life also. When it comes to the corporate, yes. So someone is under a team lead and the person wants to become the team lead. That's but obvious. So we are in the servant position, but we want to become masters. This is the Kali Yuga. This is the mentality of human beings. This is the mentality of human beings. And this mentality is it's almost like the body is programmed. The mind is programmed. The mind is programmed and it's just working by its own. And the mind is programmed always to do these activities, pull people down, step on people and go ahead, acquire someone else's position. This is very, very normal. And this we can see in our day-to-day life also. Now, there is no need of extra description when I brought this. Text 13. O Lord Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and brahmanas. Brahmanical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence and good fortune will automatically increase. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. It's a big purport we'll try to discuss. In this verse, the words Dvija Gavam Parameshtyam indicate the most exalted position of Brahmanas, Brahmanical culture and the cows. In Vedic culture, the welfare of the cows and the welfare of Brahmanas are essential. Without a proper arrangement for developing Brahmanical culture and protecting cows, all the affairs of administration will go to hell. So here we see in our Vedic times, lots of importance was given to Brahmanas and cows. In fact, one of the pranam mantra of Krishna is Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Itayacha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namo. So Krishna is the one who is the caretaker of Brahmanas and the cows. And Brahmanas were given lots of importance. Because they were pure at that time. So, you know, the importance was given. And when it comes to cows also, the importance was given because at that time, so the cows were not just, you know, some dairy, what do you call it as? Some dairy shop where you go and you'll get milk. Cow was actually part of the family in the Vedic times. And every cow would have a name and the family members who were there, they would have a nice relationship with every cow. I'm sure all of y'all who have been in village for some time, and if there were some cows in your maternal or paternal grandparents' place, so I'm sure you might have noticed this, that there would be a nice loving relationship that would be there. They'll be part of family. Even if the cow does not give milk, they'll take care of the cow. It's almost like currently the situation is when the person becomes old, he's invalid. So what to do with that person? Similar thing applies here. When the cow becomes invalid, not giving milk, what to do with it? Slaughterhouse, bejdo. That's what is happening now. Because the relationship with the cows is not there. And cow, we can speak a lot about cow. So it is said that when it comes to cows, they embody all the 33 crore Devi Devta. All the 33 crore Devi Devta. I don't remember exactly which demigod resides in which place. I guess the tail is, Lakshmi Devi resides in the tail. So, like this, we see that entire part of the body of the cow. So, different demigods reside. Why? Because the body of the cow is very, very auspicious. Maybe one of the reasons might be Krishna loves the cow, so maybe that can be. But at the same time, we understand the body of the cow is in the mode of goodness. No, it will be always in mode of goodness. Never agitated. Never. You see the way it eats, the way it walks, and the dealings which the cows have, and so on and so forth. So everything is in mode of goodness. So they're really, very great animals. Sometimes people say, why these Hindu people protect cows? What about other animals? So in Mumbai, we have a place called Wada. It's a ISKCON community there. So they have made a replica of Vrindavan there, very beautiful. So there this question was asked to the sannyasi who was leading the project. So he was asked that, why you people keep only cows? So hearing that, he kept two donkeys, two horses, and you know, sheep and goat and things like that. But when it comes to cows, they're a mode of goodness and they're worshipable. And most importantly, they give milk. And in Shastra, it is said that there are seven mothers. There's seven mothers. And one of them is the cow. So when it comes to mother, then how can a person think of killing one's mother? How can a person think of killing one's mother? But now, since the age of Kali Yuga is degrading, so there is no question of protecting mother, having loving relationship, kill. That's what is going on. And when it comes to Brahmanas, Brahmanas were themselves have gone down in their character, in their purity. Yes. So that is the reason Brahmanas are not valued. And they don't, and most of the people who are Brahmanas by birth and not by qualification, they don't have command, or they cannot command the respect. Yes, they cannot. Only thing that they can do is demand respect, and they'll not get anything. Yes, they'll not get anything. So in this way, we see that previously in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas had a very great position. Whatever a Brahmana would speak, that would be final. People would just follow. Oh, a Brahmana has said. And there's something called as Brahman Bhoj. Brahman Bhoj means inviting Brahmanas home and feeding them very nicely. Yes. And then after that, giving them some Dakshina and so on and so forth. And with time, what has happened is, the Brahmanas have been just meant for Brahman Bhoj and Dakshina. No qualification. Don't know any Shastra. Don't know any proper mantra. Don't know how to do Yajan, Yajan, Dan, Pratigraha. Yajan, Yajan basically means how to do Yajna. Patan, Patan. To learn and to teach. And Dan, Pratigraha. Accepting Dan and giving Dana. Yes. And one of the qualities of Brahmanas is, whenever some Dan would come, they would never keep it themselves. They will just use it for their basic need, and whatever remains, they'll just distribute it across. This was the quality of a Brahmana. Now just imagine now in this age of Kali Yuga what's happening, right? Just for namesake, Brahmanas are there. So, but obvious, no, they are not valued. But we have to somehow get back the Brahminical culture. Without Brahminical culture, this Vedic system cannot be brought back. And you see that is the training that is given in ISKCON. To bring back the Brahminical culture, to bring back the Vedic culture. That is what is the training that we all are getting. So all of us learn deity worship. All of us learn to give donation. So, and when it comes to accepting donation, we are a bit hesitant. So even when someone accepts a donation, they'll put it in the hundi. So when it comes to ISKCON, the training that Prabhupada has given us, is really amazing. Really amazing. Be it chanting shlokas, be it chanting different mantras, doing yajnas, deity worship. Everything is high standard that Prabhupada has set. Wherein just by following this, we can easily come to the Brahminical culture, Brahminical platform, or somewhere close to Brahminical platform. Being afraid that Hiranyakashipu would occupy the post of Brahma, all demigods were extremely disturbed. Hiranyakashipu was a well-known demon, and demigods knew that if demons and rakshasas were to occupy the supreme post, Brahminical culture and protection of cows would come to an end. So that's what has happened currently. The demons have taken up the position as leaders in the society. And because of that, you see, when it comes to cow protection, some people want to implement cow protection, but the others don't want to. Yes, they want to allow cow slaughter. And when it comes to this also, including Bhagavad Gita in the curriculum, so there's a lot of debate that is happening between different personalities in the leader's role in the politics. That's what is happening. And with time, take it for sure, with time, demons will lead everything. And it's very clearly given in Bhagavatam also. Yes. But not very soon. It will take some time. 10,000 years is a span where bhakti will remain. But after that, in this also, demons will slowly take over. And finally, after 10,000 years, it will be demons at the top. And they will have all demonic rules and regulations. All demonic rules and regulations. Right? Now you see, one of the thing that is implemented in India also, especially in the schools. So I heard this, one of my student, school going kid. So he was not wearing kanti mala. I asked him, why you're not wearing kanti mala? He said, in school, my physical training PT teacher, he caught hold of my kantimala and he said, what is this? Not allowed. We are secular. What do you mean by secular? This has to be understood first. Secular means allowing people to follow the religion. Yes. But now secular means no religion. That's what is happening in different schools. No religion. Tilak is not allowed. You cannot keep shikha. You cannot wear kanti. This is what is happening. And people say that, no, we are secular. We don't take side of any religion and so on and so forth. We have to allow people to practice their religion properly. But with time, we'll see this, that how the demonic rules and regulations will get implemented. Hope, till then, we are not here in this material world. We might have attained Krishna till that point of time. But anyone who remains will be really in a very critical state, really very critical, dangerous position. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the original proprietor of everything is Lord Krishna. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. The Lord therefore knows particularly well how to develop the material condition of the living entities within this material world. In every universe, there is one Brahma engaged on behalf of Lord Krishna, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. So I think I made this point in one of the class. So a different universe, there are a lot of universes. Ours is the smallest universe. This is the description that is given. Ours is the smallest universe. And so our Brahma has got only four heads. But there are universes much, much bigger than our universe. And there, the number of heads are proportional to the size of the universe. So the heads of Brahma, because they need a lot of thought process, right? They have to implement so many things. So, lots of heads are there. So every universe will have one Brahma. Every universe will have, whatever, Indra, Chandra, Surya, or whatever. That will be there. So there will be different sets of demigods, which will be there. So in this way, we see that when it comes to the universe, every universe will have a Brahma and every universe will have a different set of demigods. But Supreme Personality of Godhead is only one, Mahavishnu. Therefore, if a Rakshasa or a demon were situated in Brahma's post, then entire arrangement of universe, especially the protection of Brahminical culture and cows, would be ruined. All the demigods anticipated this danger and therefore they went to request Lord Brahma to take immediate steps to thwart Hiranyakashipu's plan. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitaba, but Krishna saved him. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as Madhu Kaitaba Hantra. Now again, Hiranyakashipu was trying to replace Brahma. The material world is so situated that even the position of Lord Brahma, not to speak of ordinary living entities, sometimes in danger. So if Brahma's position is in danger, hum kis khet ki mooli hai? Now what is our condition? But still we want to hold on to our position. I'll never give up. I'll never leave. But when it comes to devotees understand this very clearly. Brahma ka bhi kuch nahi ho sakta. Brahma cannot remain permanent. Are mera kya hai? I'm for sure temporary. My position is temporary. Nonetheless, until the time Hiranyakashipu, no one had tried to replace Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu, however, was such a great demon that he maintained his ambition. So this also goes on to say, so till Hiranyakashipu, no one was there who tried to replace Brahma. Maybe in our life also, no one is there till now, but there will be some Hiranyakashipu that will come. He will come or she will come and try to replace our current position, whatever our position is. Right. So till the point we are holding on to the temporary positions of this world, we will always be disturbed. Because any time that can be taken away. Any time. So it is said, instead of holding the position in this world, let's hold the position in the spiritual world. And our position is Dasa or Dasi. Now we are servant. And our position is to be at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna's lotus feet are permanent. And our relationship with him is permanent. Right? So this position of servant is always permanent. That is the reason this Das title is given. This Das title is given after initiation. Yes, to give that permanent recognition. Yes, you are servant. But when, if you are holding back some position in this world and thinking this will remain with me forever, let's be ready for all the disturbance. Let's be ready to face all the disturbance. The word Bhutai means for increasing opulence. The word Shreyase refers to ultimately returning home back to Godhead. In spiritual advancement, one's material position improves at the same time that the path of liberation becomes clear and one is freed from material bondage. If one is situated in an opulent position in spiritual advancement, his opulence never decreases. Therefore, such a spiritual benediction is called bhuti or vibhuti. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, yadyad vibhuti matsatvam mama tejamsha sambhava. If a devotee advances in spiritual consciousness and thus becomes materially opulent also, his position is a special gift from the Lord. Such opulence is never to be considered material. At the present, especially on this planet Earth, the influence of Lord Brahma has decreased considerably, and the representatives of Hiranyakashipu, the Rakshasas and the demons, have taken charge. Therefore, there is no protection of Brahminical culture and cows, which are the basic prerequisites for all kinds of good fortune. This age is very dangerous because society is being managed by demons and Rakshasas. So one point that Prabhupada is talking about is the asset that we get by practicing bhakti is permanent. No one can take it away from us. No one. If we have some material asset, then yes, people can plan in various ways and take away, you know, whatever we have. But when it comes to spiritual aspects, the spiritual assets that we have, the sukriti that we have, no one can take it. No one. Even Yamraj cannot do that. What to talk about common public of this world. So that is the reason when it comes to sadhus, they are very fearless. You see, a materialist will always be in fear. Fear. Why? Because he's always in fear that, oh, whatever I have will be taken away. But a sadhu is bindas. What you will take away from me? Everything I've already given up. What will you take from me? I have one set of clothes. That's it. You want to take away that? But you cannot take the real thing, the real treasure that I have. Bhakti, which is there in my heart. That's the audacity which sadhus have. Kya le jaoge? Le jao. Maroge. No, you'll kill me. Kill? What's the problem? No, I'm not the body, I'm spirit soul. Anyways. You want to do whatever you do? Right? So that is the reason when a person becomes an elevated devotee, he's fearless. Fearless. Many times devotees ask me this question, that how to become fearless in life. So we cannot become fearless just by theoretical information here and there. We can become fearless when we practice bhakti intensely and elevate ourselves and elevate our consciousness on the path of bhakti. And when we have complete faith on Krishna and we have complete faith on the process of bhakti, automatically we'll become fearless. Automatically. Right? So if we want to become fearless, the only solution is progress on the path of bhakti. Go up the ladder and finally reach the lotus feet of Krishna. That's what is the aspect of being fearless. And the devotees are fearless. Why? Because they are very sure that the treasure that they have in the heart cannot be taken away by anyone in this world. Because the treasure they cannot see firstly. So with this, I would like to pause here. If you have any questions, please ask. Lord Brahma, despite of being a great devotee of Lord, could not break the cycle of birth and death. Is it Lord's wish? Okay, see, when it comes to Lord Brahma, I was reading in different purports of Srila Prabhupada and also talking to some senior devotees. So when it comes to Brahma, so at the time of annihilation, Brahma and his associates, they actually ascend to Goloka Vrindavan or to higher spiritual planets. Because Lord Brahma and his associates, they engage themselves in bhakti all the time. That is the reason. That is the reason. Yes. So when it comes to Brahma, so he does not have a normal death, like people have. Because Lord Brahma's body itself is made up of intelligence. It's very subtle. So there cannot be a normal death, people in this world have. But when it comes to cycle of birth and death of Brahma, so as soon as Brahma's lifespan ends, actually Brahma ascends back to Goloka or to Vaikuntha. He goes back home back to Godhead. Yes. There are hardly any instance, I don't remember any instance hearing from Shastra that any Brahma has fallen down and he has become something else in this world. So the description that is given is all of us, we were almost in the position of Brahma. From there we have fallen down. Yes, from there we have fallen down. Yes, in fact, there are statements which are made that we were Brahma and then we have fallen down from that position. But then, we tried verifying from the Shastra. Nowhere this is there. We are, so the we were Brahma, that goes on to say that we were actually close to the position of Brahma, and from there we have fallen down. But when it comes to the position of Brahma, you can imagine, Brahma has been given such a great responsibility of creation. How can Brahma fall down and become a mortal being in this world? Right? And the one who has seen Krishna face to face, one who has attained Krishna, how can he fall down? So Brahma and his close associates, you know, they go back to the spiritual world. So that's what is told. Hope it's clear for you. But Brahma remains for full lifetime. He has to, because he has to create and take care of this world, universe. Is the Brahmana fall due to the curse of Nandishwara? So various reasons. And one of them is, yes, in the Daksha pastime. So when Nandishwara is cursing, that is one of the reason that is there. And also when it comes to Parikshit Maharaj's curse. So Sringi, the Brahmana who cursed Parikshit Maharaj. So he became really arrogant with the power that he had, and he cursed. So it is said that from that point of time, the Brahmana started falling down. So something like that. And also the Prabhava of Kali is also greater. So when the Prabhava of Kali increases, so what happens is the mode of ignorance increases. And Brahmanas are always in the mode of goodness. So because of Karanam Guna Sangha, because of the association of the modes that are currently there, are currently dominating. So what happens is the majority of the crowd gets into that. So that is also one of the reasons that in this age of Kali Yuga, but obviously the Brahmanas will decline, because the so-called Brahmanas will get into the mode of ignorance. And that is the reason, they will go down.